Hello, this is Paula with the Vermilion County News on Thursday, October 23rd, 2025. We'll start with a story titled Redistricting Push, Lawmakers Not Likely to Act in Illinois. And this is written by Brendan Moore in Capital News, Illinois. The U.S. House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries pushed for Illinois Democrats to redraw the state's congressional map as a counter to President Donald Trump's mid-decade redistricting project in GOP-led states has met a cool reception with state lawmakers. I think there is a next to zero appetite to it, one House Democratic lawmaker told Capital News, Illinois. Another lawmaker said, "There is no world where I see this happening." Lawmakers are back in Springfield next week for the final days of their annual fall veto session, reform of the state's public transportation agencies and addressing soaring energy costs have dominated the discussion. But Jeffries is making a late play with state legislative leaders to put a new map on the agenda, too. Punch Bowl News, a Washington, D.C.-based news organization, reported earlier this week. The New York Democrats' move comes amid a national redistricting battle initiated by Trump to squeeze additional Republican seats out of GOP-controlled states to bolster the party's chances of retaining its narrow House majority in the 2026 midterm elections. A spokesperson for Jeffries did not return a request for comment. Cool reception in Springfield. With Governor J.B. Pritzker and Democratic supermajorities in the state legislature, Illinois is one of the few states where the party can pick up another seat. The state's congressional delegation is currently composed of 14 Democrats and 3 Republicans. However, Democratic state lawmakers and party officials told Capital News Illinois that most, if not all, the redistricting conversations have been initiated in Washington, and there appears to be interest in Springfield for blowing up the state's congressional lines. Among the roadblocks is the clock. The candidate petition filing deadline for the March primary is November 3rd. If lawmakers act next week, they would have to consider moving the primary date or tweaking signature requirements for petitions. Perhaps an even larger hurdle is opposition of Black elected officials who worry that a new map could lead to the dilution of the state's Black political representation. Currently, 3 of the state's congressional districts are at least 40% African American, according to U.S. state census data, and Illinois has 4 Black representatives in Congress. But a more aggressive gerrymander would likely require these majority-minority, overwhelmingly Democratic districts to absorb additional rural majority while parts of the state that overwhelmingly vote Republican. "We're going to fight back," congressional candidate and state Senator Willie Preston, Democrat from Chicago, said. The Senate chair of the Illinois Legislative Black Caucus told Punch Bowl News on Wednesday, "We just won't do so at the expense of our own power." More generally, some Democrats worry that a new map would further weaken existing Democrat-held districts and make them electorally vulnerable to Republicans. Republicans for the state's legislative leaders said they've not seen any proposed maps and have not taken any steps to initiate that process. Dolores Walton, press secretary for Illinois House Speaker Emmanuel Chris Welch, Democrat from Hillside, told Capital News Illinois that there are no substantive plans to pass a new congressional map, and House Democrats have taken no steps to draw any new maps. But she added that all options must stay on the table, citing Republican map drawing efforts in the red states. John Patterson, spokesperson for Senate President Don Harmer, said they understand why this conversation continues, but reiterate that there's no plan and we've seen no maps. A counter to GOP redistricting. Texas Republicans enacted a new map this summer that could net the party an additional 5 seats. Lawmakers in Missouri and North Carolina recently approved maps aimed at gaining one more GOP seat apiece. Efforts are also underway in Indiana and Kansas. Democrats have countered with California, where the party is backing a ballot measure that would allow the Democrat-led state legislature to override an existing commission-drawn map and adopt new temporary district lines that could net the party 5 more seats. The party's options behind the Golden State are limited. Democrats have single party control in fewer states than Republicans, and many have placed strictest constitutional limits on redistricting or put it in the hands of the independent commission. As a result, Jeffries has turned to Illinois and Maryland to further bolster Democrats. Pritzker, a Trump critic who hosted Texas Democrats earlier this summer when they fled the Lone Star State in opposition to the Republican remap, has been coy about redrawing his own state's lines as a countermeasure. The governor told reporters earlier this week that he had generally that he generally doesn't think Illinois should redistrict, but that Democrats shouldn't have to sit on the sidelines when Republican states are engaging in mid-decade redistricting. Still, he said, a remap is really going to be up to the legislature. Illinois already gerrymandered. In 2021, the Democratic state legislature passed and Pritzker signed one of the most aggressively gerrymandered congressional maps in the country. It provided Democrats with a 14-3 majority in the delegation, or 82% of the seats in the state, where Vice President Kamala Harris had won 54.5% of the state vote in 2024. Democrats achieved this by packing Republicans into as few districts as possible while considering Democratic politics of strength downstate and stretching out their partisan advantage in the Chicago region as far as they possibly could. Illinois' current congressional map earned an F grade from the independent Princeton gerrymandering project, finding the map fails in every category on political fairness and competition and geographic compactness. Illinois Republicans over the years have unsuccessfully challenged the state's legislative maps in court and have filed legislation to create an independent redistricting commission. The idea has never gained traction in the Democratic-controlled legislature. Capital News Illinois is a nonprofit, nonpartisan news service that distributes state government coverage to hundreds of news outlets statewide. It is funded primarily by the Illinois Press Foundation and the Robert R. McCormick Foundation. You can reach Capital News Illinois on the following social media page outlets: Facebook, Capital News, Instagram, and Twitter, TX. Next story is titled ARPA Funds Highlighting Council Meeting. This is written by Christy Jankowski in Danville. Reallocating remaining ARPA funds to ongoing park projects was met with passionate debate Tuesday night at the Danville City Council meeting. The remaining ARPA American Rescue Plan Act funds allocated for the city of Danville, which were given during the COVID pandemic, have to be used by December 31st of 2026. However, they can only be used towards projects in motion. While the council approved the spending of ARPA funds on the park projects over a year ago, there was a debate in whether the council should have allocated funds to youth centers and the homeless. Council members expressed their disdain in stating that originally the ARPA plan included funding for those areas, but they were cut. David Rue with the Danville Public Works told the council that they plan to use the $433,000 reallocated for Garfield Park. The remaining funds will be spent in stormwater engineering. We will have a few construction projects that have remaining contingency that we need to keep available in contingency for those projects, Rue said. As those projects get finished, and we have remaining funds, we will kick those over for further design or engineering services and on stormwater projects. Alderman Doug Ahrens expressed his concerns about voting for the reallocation of funds. So if I understand this correctly, we had an open project to deal with the unhoused or the homeless if it would have qualified for these funds, Ahrens said. Or we could be spending $250,000 to address an unhoused and our homeless individuals with ARPA funds. But there's more going to the Garfield Park. The community is tired of watching money go to the Garfield Park. I will not be supporting this. Alderwoman Tricia Teague expressed her frustration as well. What is unfortunate is that those projects were never opened, and therefore we could not reallocate some of this $500,000 to those things, Teague said. She continued to say that the main reason that money at this time went to Garfield Park is that the project was estimated to cost $18 million. I was one of those who approved it because, yes, costs went up, but I wasn't also anticipating that there would be money left over, she added. Mayor Ricky Williams Jr. interjected by saying that parks in the center are different. Garfield Park is their busiest park. I will say we have to remember our parks are for the youth, Williams said. Garfield Park houses our largest youth football and cheerleading program. It's also within blocks of the two largest schools, so in that sense, yes, absolutely, it is for our youth. Ahrens complained about the conditions of Winter Park and the soccer complex. Simply having some seal code on that parking lot would have been a heck of an improvement, and it remains undone, Ahrens said. And yet, we found a way to spend $19 million to Garfield Park. Williams added that these two parks are not owned by the city. We struggle to maintain all the property that we already own, and our responsibility to fix things that we own first, Williams said. In total, the expenditure to date is $747,888.11, with estimated savings and ongoing projects affecting the budget. Ahrens was the only no vote on the reallocation of the ARPA funds to park and stormwater projects. Other resolutions approved extending the ADA paratransit service agreement, the purchase of a support vehicle for the Danville Mass Transit Council. Also wanted to remind the public that it is the final call for a rehabilitation grant for homeowners in Danville. The application period ends at 4 p.m. this Friday. In other news, the 2026-27 budget was discussed. Allison Massey, the city controller, highlighted that the total spending as of now will be $95,044,844. She added that the tax revenue is projected to be a 7.2% increase from the previous years. As we talked about many times, there's been a dramatic reduction in the Illinois state use tax. We're seeing that as an 83% reduction, but it's being offset partially by a 7% increase in state sales tax, she said. The tax levy will increase by 4.94%. Williams attempted to clear the air about what he calls rumors about funding for the library. There have been a lot of wild accusations going around the community, Mayor. You wish to close the library, Mayor. You are being unfair. You don't care about our community, Williams said. I learned the state taxes was going to be greatly reduced, causing us to lose almost $1 million worth of funding we were expecting. Williams then said he told the library director that and other officials that if they could cut $500,000, that would be great, but he did not expect that number. Williams said during a meeting with the executive board, he was told, Mr. Mark Denman and the executive board assured me that while they would rather have no cuts, the $214,000 that we had come up with is a is reasonable. It's primarily through the elimination of positions, a couple of which had been vacant for some time, and then another one which they will be making adjustments to, he said. Williams added he just wanted to update the public with the facts. We've made out most of our reductions now. There are some for next year, but most of the reductions have been made this year because we're not asking to make into the library to make any reductions for this year, Williams said, told the public and council about the budget. And there's just one obituary. Ted McDowell, 80, of Georgetown, passed away peacefully at his home on Tuesday, October 21st, surrounded by those he loved. Per his wishes, there will be no public services. Messages and memories can be left on our website page at Kruger Co. and Pape.com or on in Kruger Funeral Home Facebook page. Memorials may be made in Ted's name to the American Heart Association at P.O. Box 840692, Dallas, Texas 75824, in honor of his late wife, Vicki. Next story is titled Message of Recovery with Hope and Help. This again is written by Christy Jankowski in Danville. October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and the victims are left with unfathomable trauma. The Vermilion County Health Board is helping others through past trauma, addiction, and sexual assault with testimony and local resources. Tonight at the Second Church of Christ in Danville, from 6 to 8 p.m., keynote speaker Trish Kendall will tell her story. There will also be local groups offering resources available. Those involved in the event are hopeful that it will help others. I think it's a great story for people who are struggling and people who are helping other people who are struggling, you know, said Pastor Danil of the Second Church of Christ, because usually when somebody's got an addiction, it affects the whole family. Kendall will be sharing her story of childhood sexual abuse and addiction. On an event flyer, it stated that she identified five choices she made in recovery. Jim Russell with the Mental Health Board said, "We're putting an emphasis on providers that do substance use disorder treatment, but we also open it up to other service providers as well." He said there will be representatives of Rosecrans, New Directions, Empower, Crosspoint, Celebrate Recovery, Chris Healthy Aging, Survivor Resource Center, Carl Hospital Outreach Program, Mental Health First Aid, and ROSC. There's going to be so much in her story of being a victim and to find the help she needed, and people need to know there is help available locally, Russell said. There is hope and help, and that is part of the message people need to take away. Recovery is possible. It can take a lot of forms for different people, but it is still possible. There will be a brief question and answer discussion after Kendall speaks, and the Vermilion County Coroner, Jane McFadden, will be on the panel and discuss the number of overdoses in Vermilion County. The Second Church of Christ is located at 3350 East Voorhees Street. The event is open to the public of all ages and backgrounds. Next story is Osterber Speaks to Danville Lions, and this is written by a staff reporter in Danville. Katie Osterber, Executive Director of Peer Court, met with Danville Lions Club members, updating them on Peer Court activity as well as Keep Vermilion County Beautiful. Osterber relayed that the Peer Court program is a great program with kids who respect the community service they complete while learning valuable lessons. The partnership with local and county police and judiciary remains strong over the years. She commented not only are Danville youth served by the program, she has seen that more youth from throughout the county are using the program services. Peer Court is a system of referral for handling juvenile offenders, giving those involved an opportunity to be heard by the jury of their peers after committing an offense. The tenets of Peer Court include being tried by a jury of their peers, a judgment of the charges, and a sentence defining the terms of the sentence to be carried out. Community service is a standing requirement of Peer courts process, which benefits many community organizations. Peer Court has a strong history of the youth serving KCVB. The other organizations partnered with Peer Court Ambucks with Challenger Baseball, Dwelling Place, Project Success, Festival of Trees, and more. Osper finds and appreciates that when the parents of the young people are vested in the peer court process, it strengthens the experience for all concerned. Osper told a story of a young man who was already involved with peer court while providing community service, who rather reluctantly accepted an invitation to join her on a recent podcast. He did such a good job with the experience, enjoying it so much that he has become one of peer court's youth leaders, modeling excellent examples of his own experiences and talents for other young people involved. Peer court historically was one of the very first to be established in the United States and has been a strong, valuable asset to Vermilion County for years. Osterber has served on the Keep Vermilion County Beautiful, known as KVCB, board for 15 years and it is one of her passions, serving as board chair currently. As community service is a basic tenet of the peer court, it has been a natural avenue for youth to provide consistent service for KVCB, a valuable partnership between two entities. Osterber thanked the Danville Lions Club for its long-standing partnership with KVCB. Elizabeth Cannon is the new director of KVCB this spring. She plans to build on current activities and increase membership with membership and adopt spot drives. Osper announced Peer Court annual auction fundraiser will be held on February 6th. And there's a picture of Katie Osper on the left and Danville Lions president Peg Morris posed for the photo at Thursday's Danville Lions Club meeting at Spanky's Banquet Hall. Osper, the executive director of Peer Court, was the guest speaker. Next story is titled Strong Year for Illinois Lottery, and this is written by a staff reporter in Chicago. Illinois Lottery boasts strong year of sales revenue and winnings. On Tuesday, the Illinois Lottery announced it had $3.76 billion in total sales, its second highest sales year, $796 million in proceeds, resulting in $784 million in contributions to the Common School Fund to support K-12 public education and over $12 million to special causes in Illinois, its fifth best year for net income, and Illinois Lottery players collected $2.5 billion in prizes generated from the 109.5 million winning tickets. The Illinois Lottery continues to do its part by responsibly generating essential funding for the Common School Fund and good causes, such as the Special Olympics and veterans programs in Illinois, said Governor J.B. Pritzker. We continue to champion Illinois-generated education revenue, especially considering federal funding for education is at risk. Nearly 100 lucky players won $1 million or more this year, with one Illinois player winning a Mega Millions jackpot of $349 million. This was the fourth Mega Millions jackpot win over $300 million for Illinois players in the past 4 years. We are proud to be able to offer our players fun games to play responsibly for a chance to win while at the same time generating funding to support K-12 education and other good causes, said Harold Mays, director of the Illinois Lottery. Illinois Lottery retailers also won big with a reported $172 million in commission and bonuses paid in fiscal year 2025 for selling lottery tickets. Our retailers help fuel the economic engine in the communities we serve. They are an integral part of our ability to meet our mission, Mays said. With Alwyn North America as the operating partner of the Illinois Lottery and its iLottery provider. The lottery reached another digital milestone this year with record online sales of $702 million. The Illinois Lottery's fiscal year 2025 runs from July 1st of 2024 to June 30th of 2025. Next story is titled Danville Meth Dealer Sentenced to Prison, written by a staff reporter in Danville. Richard Dietz, 57, of Danville, pled guilty to unlawful possession of methamphetamine with intent to deliver, a Class X felony, on Monday. Dietz was sentenced to 13 and a half years in Illinois Department of Corrections, followed by a term of 18 months mandatory supervised release. According to a news release from Vermilion County State's Attorney Jacqueline Lacey's office, the people presented evidence that on October 15th of 2023, agents with the Vermilion County Metropolitan Enforcement Group engaged in a lawful search of a package that Richard Dietz received in the mail. The package contained large amounts of substance that was sent for analysis by the Illinois State Police Crime Lab. It tested positive for methamphetamine. Dietz admitted he was picking up the package for a drug dealer to distribute. Thank you to the agents with the Vermilion County Metropolitan Enforcement Group for their work to remove this large amount of methamphetamine from our streets, said Lacey in the release. Their dedication protects the safety of our community. The plea and sentencing were presided over by Judge Mark S. Goodwin. Okay, we'll run through the community briefs. Rhodes speaks at Noon Kiwanis. Crosspoint CEO Lisa Rhodes will be the guest speaker for the Danville Noon Kiwanis Club at noon this Thursday. The Danville Noon Kiwanis meets at the Danville Public Library. Performance set for Danville Lions. Gage Womack, director of the Danville High School Orchestra, will perform with the orchestra cello section for the Danville Lions Club at 6 p.m. Thursday. The Lions Club meets at Spanky's Banquet Hall at 409 East Main Street in Danville. Band concert at Bismarck Church. The Heaven Bound Quartet will perform at 6:30 p.m. Sunday at the Bismarck First Church of Christ, located at 100 Maiden Lane in Bismarck. Joining the Heaven Bound Quartet will be the local church band. St. James UMC hosts concert. Doc Ashton and the Root Canals will be performing at 6:30 p.m. on Sunday, October 26th at the St. James United Methodist Church, located at 504 North Vermilion Street in Danville. Open house for Tilton Clinic. Horizon Health's new Tilton Clinic is hosting an open house from 4:30 to 6 p.m. on Tuesday, October 28th. The clinic, located at 2 Ileana Drive, Suite C in Tilton, will have a ribbon-cutting ceremony at 4:30 in conjunction with Vermilion Advantage giveaways, refreshments, educational materials, facility tours, and staff meet and greets will be available. The Tilton Clinic is led by Megan Paxson, a full-time family nurse practitioner. The Family Medicine Clinic provides a full range of medical care for the entire family with a focus on health and wellness. It treats conditions such as high blood pressure, high cholesterol, diabetes, ear infections, cold and flu, and minor injuries. Clinic hours are Monday through Thursday from 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. and Friday from 7 a.m. to 11. The clinic is closed for lunch from 12:30 to 1:30. Appointments are encouraged, but walk-ins are welcome. Call 217-655-4362 or request an appointment online at myhorizonhealth.org/Tilton. Rossville hosts basketball event. The Basketball Museum of Illinois and the Illinois High School Glory Days website is hosting a special event honoring basketball teams with East Central Illinois at 6 p.m. on Wednesday, October 29th at the former Rossville Alvin High School Gymnasium, located at 350 North Chicago Street in Rossville. Former Rossville Alvin coach Ken Crawford will serve as the master of ceremonies. Bring your stories and treasures like uniforms, trophies, photos, banners, programs, scrapbooks, and other memorabilia. Admission is free, but donations for the Basketball Museum of Illinois at Bedford Park are welcome. Display tables will be available to showcase your memories. So that'll be it for today, Thursday, October 23rd, 2025. Looks like it's going to be a cold weekend, in the 50s all weekend. A little bit of rain maybe by Monday, they say, I guess. But anyway, So try to stay warm. Hope you all have a good week. And hopefully I'll see you again next week. Take care. Bye.